Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we listen to the world. This is April 23rd, 2024. And on today's show, we are going to look at the week ahead, specifically, astrologically speaking, the cosmic dance, which includes a full moon in Scorpio late today, you know, almost 5 o'clock, I think, Pacific time. So it's going to be a beautiful view, probably for most people. We're also going to touch upon that Mercury moving into direct motion on Thursday, because I know a lot of you are interested in that. And we are also going to do channeled messages, scopes, for each of the signs in the second half of the show. And one of the reasons, you know, as I was thinking, as that came to me and I wanted to do it, I realized it was for several reasons. One, because we haven't done it for a while. The other reason is because the more I thought about the full moon in Scorpio, I just kept kind of coming up with this idea of guidance. You know, just what is the guidance that we use in our lives? What is the shining star? What is it, you know, that lights our path? And I just thought, you know what? It might be nice to just have a, you know, to throw out a few ideas like that and base them on the astrological signs. Or you can also look at where the full moon is for you in your natal chart, that sort of thing. And then when we get to that part of the show, I'll give you a few more specifics. But I was just thinking, you know, it's just kind of nice sometimes to touch base that way. And we haven't done it for a while. So we are going to do that just to kind of there again, give everybody a little bit of a handle. So those are basically the things that we're going to talk about. But before we get started, I'd also like to remind you that make sure that you're on Mark Hessen's mailing lists. And if you're not a subscriber to the Power Peak, I would really encourage you to do that simply because there's lots of good articles in there every single week. And it's free. It comes to your email box. And, you know, truthfully, if you read it and you say, I don't need this, well, there's a delete button. You just go, okay, I'm not here. But, you know, for the most part, it's a wonderful thing. You can pick and choose. Maybe you read the whole thing. Maybe you just read parts of it. Or maybe it becomes one of those things where you're just looking for a moment of inspiration, you know, kind of that touchstone in your day. I mean, that is how it is for me. Oftentimes I go, I just need a little something. And I go over there and I read one of the articles. And I know that the very fact that it popped into my mind is, you know, there was a reason for that. There's something I'm going to hear. There's something I'm going to realize by going over there. And I just think it's a nice thing to have, I'd say, in your spiritual toolbox. You know, just something that's there for you when you need it. So I would encourage you to, and of course, I shouldn't downplay it, but the article that I write is going to tell you all kinds of stuff, like where the moon is every day. You know, what kind of a day is it out there, emotionally speaking, with the moon? Or what are those planets doing? And I love to remind you, the planets don't make us do anything, but they really do reflect mass consciousness. And as such, they really can go, okay, I think I'm gonna spend some time to myself today, or maybe I'm gonna journal, or maybe I'm gonna call an old friend and socialize. You know, just giving you an idea of what kind of energy is out there and what's going on. It doesn't mean that it's gonna control your day, but it's kind of nice to know that stuff, right? And for me personally, you know, I always throw a spread, that's what I call it, and I use, you know, up to 10 different decks. Some of them are oracle cards, some of them are tarot, most of them are tarot. But that spread is on my desk all week long. And so, you know, I can easily see which cards I pulled for each day. And it's just a wonderful reminder, you know, to me as I'm working, as I'm doing something on the computer, or as I'm reading for a client, I want to listen, you know, it's great. I know that those are going to be visual symbols to me. It's going to be guidance that I need. And, you know, along those lines, too, I think sometimes we get all caught up about we're going to miss it. You know, we're going to miss the thing that we needed to know, or that there's only so much of it. There's just this little pot of guidance or this little pot of information, and somehow we missed it. We didn't take the right class at the right time from the right teacher. And now that teacher isn't around, or maybe that book isn't here, or whatever it is. And, you know, I know that Scorpio, which, you know, with that moon being in Scorpio, and it's not, no, the, yes, the moon in Scorpio can be really intense, especially with a full moon. But It doesn't have to be. You know, we can take that intensity to just say, you know what, I'm just going to go a little bit deeper than this. I'm going to get away from maybe some of the superficial chaos that's going on, and I'm just going to listen to that voice that I need to hear. And what I'm saying is, you're never going to miss your destiny. Now, I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way. I mean, I can name several things in my life, and I think, man, if I could only go back, if I had a time machine, I would change that. I would have gotten there earlier. I wouldn't have gone, or whatever it was. But you're not going to miss your destiny. And the guidance is always there. What you need in any given moment is always going to be there. It just is, if you want it. You know, if you can just calm yourself and say, what voice am I listening to? Am I listening to a voice of chaos? Am I listening to this voice that says, yeah, why me? Everything's going wrong, or I'm a victim? Or are you listening to a voice that says, I'm a spiritual seeker. I'm a spiritual being having a physical experience. And everything around me can be part of my process. It can be part of my day. It can be part of my lesson. And there again, sometimes I go, I didn't want this piece, or, you know, I wish it hadn't been there. But you know what? We can just relax in this idea of we're at the right place at the right time. Now, I can't say that for sure about you, that it makes you feel comfortable. But sometimes when I just kind of stop and think about that, what if I could pretend that I'm exactly at the right place in every single moment? You know, my shoulders literally relax. I can feel my breathing just slow down. Because so much is, we believe that we know the best for everything. We know the best for ourselves. We know the best for everybody else. And we get all wrapped up in planning and calculating and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, sometimes we can just relax. We just don't need to do it. And maybe we don't even need to anticipate so much, like, oh, Mercury now is going to be going direct again, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. Maybe we can just relax in whatever moment we're in at that time, right? And speaking of Mercury, I wasn't going to jump to that right away, but you know, one thing I want to remind many of you is that you were born with Mercury retrograde. Mercury goes retrograde every 4 months. And of course, the reason is because it's an optical illusion to start with. It's what it looks like from planet Earth. And because Mercury is closer to the sun and it's speeding around the sun so quickly, when we get into a certain position, it looks to us like it's moving backwards. Well, of course, it's never moving backwards. I mean, that's not the way Mercury moves. I know Uranus kind of goes sideways, and Chiron can kind of have a weird orbit too, but Mercury, he's just like in an orbit around the sun. He's not going backwards. It's from our perspective that it looks like Mercury's going backwards, but it's routine. It happens 4 times a year and almost to the day, to about 21 days. So if you look at that, there's a lot of people born with a Mercury retrograde. And I remind you of that because for some people, when Mercury is retrograde and or when the other planets are retrograde, once again, an optical illusion, well, it's like it feels normal. You know, and you may be one of those people that Mercury retrograde actually feels a little more normal than when Mercury is going direct. So there isn't anything inherently good or bad about the planets, about astrology, or about their movement or their aspects. Now, we experience them as, ooh, this one creates conflict. This one creates a situation where I have to make a choice. Or this particular aspect always feels good, but you know what? I feel lazy when that happens. Do you realize that? Those trines that are so positive, you know, fire to fire, water to water, that's actually when we can get kind of lazy. Because, like, we're just not very motivated. It's just easy. Now, I think there's a lot of times I think, yeah, I could use a little easy in my life. But to still recognize that for some people, if things are going real, if there's a lot of trines among the planets and there's a lot of ease, they're bored. You know, I mean, they could just be lazy, but they're bored. They need some stimulation. Many of us, we like a puzzle to solve, or we like a problem to get around. We don't want, you know, think about people when they go on walks and when they go hiking. Some of them love to climb the boulders. You know, it's more like a crawl, I think, than a hike, because you're not just on your feet, you're crawling around boulders. Maybe you're even using ropes. Well, you know, is that the kind of hike you want, or were you really thinking, I just want to walk in a beautiful place? Well, those are two different kinds of situations. And some people would be quite bored if there's not a physical challenge involved on the hike. And other people, they don't care about the physical challenge. Maybe they just want the scenery, or they want to get to a location where they get a view of something, you know, a beautiful vista of some sort that they've never seen before. So see, that's why too, when you look at different people and why they thrive with the energy of the archetypes of the different planets, of the different signs, that's one of the reasons why. Because there are different things that motivate us. You know, maybe you love to sketch, so you don't want a hard hike, you just want to get to a beautiful place and sketch something. Or maybe you want to meditate, that kind of thing. So just remember, we talk about Mercury retrograde. We talk about these things as being positive or negative or challenging or whatever. But we decide those things for ourselves. We decide. You know, how much sugar do you want in your lemonade? We decide if we want it tart, if we want it sour, or if we want it sweet. So, you know, once again, have faith in yourself. What are your passions? What are your desires? What are your preferences? Have faith in that. And maybe that is part of that full moon at 4 Scorpio this afternoon, technically at 4:49 p.m., and that's Pacific time. But some of the things that I looked at when I was considering this full moon, and I'll be honest, you know, we get a full moon every single month, right? So it's not like one of these, you know, far-ranging kind of aspects like we had when Jupiter and Uranus came together. That was last week. And see, we're still under that influence. But that kind of thing only happens every 14 years. So, of course, we pay attention to it. So, when we look at these full moons, they happen once a month, but they're all different depending on the sign. And they're different based on what other things are around them. What are the other planets doing? Well, on this one, I noticed it was, I thought, very unique in some ways, because a lot of times when I'm looking at those moons, I'm going, oh my gosh, this is turning this, and this is squaring, and this is an inconjunct, and there's just so much energy around it. Well, I look at this one, and you know what I see? I see the moon in opposition to the sun in Taurus. And really, the only other thing that and it's not quite perfect, but it's certainly within range, that is affecting the moon and the sun today is Pluto, the planet of transformation. It's squaring both the moon and the sun. And you know, I thought that in its simplicity can be very profound. We're not dealing with all this other stuff, it's just that this square says there's a decision to be made, something new, you know, something to look at differently. Maybe the path is changing. And remember too that full moons are the culmination of the energy. It's the culmination. It's not the end of the lunar cycle, but it's the peak of it. You know, we plant a seed on the new moon and we build and build and build and build until we get to the full moon. And then under all that light, we get to see something. We get to see what has been created. So, this energy, though, is so straightforward and somewhat minimal. However, once again, as we just sit with that, it's interesting that of all the signs, one of the most complicated is Scorpio. Pluto is its ruler and is the transformation planet, the planet of life and death and rebirth and regeneration and healing and crisis and power and all of these amazing concepts and words in life. You know, those are the things that are Pluto. Those are the things that are Scorpio. So did they need a lot of other aspecting planets? I would say no, that, you know, this was a time to just get into that. Just look at this Pluto energy. Just look at the Scorpio energy and think about it in those terms. So when you look at where that full moon, where is it shining its light today? If you know your chart, go find 4 degrees of Scorpio, and you're likely to see where there is a revelation for you. There's an aha moment. What has come to completion? What has come to its development? Because this also leads you to where you're going to go next on the new moon. So it's not over. Like I said, the cycle isn't over, but if there's ever a time to see the light, so to speak, and then move into sort of not just a clutter clearing mode, but that can be part of it, but also a dissemination mode. That's the phase of the moon after it's full, is dissemination. The light starts distributing itself, or, you know, from our perspective, it gets, you know, the moon gets lighter and, you know, goes back to that crescent day by day by day. But see, psychologically, we're disseminating something. We're putting something out there. And so we get to do that. And sometimes it really is through clutter clearing, which then again is often rehoming things in our lives, giving them to someone or to a place where they can be used for their purpose. I mean, there's lots of ways to see that. But when you think of this Pluto, I want you to really kind of get into this today. Pluto and Scorpio. Well, what are their symbols? Well, the scorpion for one, you know, that stinging. It was interesting that Kat was talking on her show and she was talking about kind of that stinging, that she didn't say caustic, but, you know, just that idea of being biting, I think is what she said. And it, so, you know, we certainly do have the scorpion, and she had also put Pisces in that category. Well, I'm not sure Pisces, but we'll see. Anyway, I guess Pisces, and what I said in her chat room, is it's a shark. It can be a shark. It's all those things that live in the ocean. And when you think about Neptune, when you think about, you know, the power of water, yeah, Pisces can come off as biting, I suppose. So the symbols, though, it's the scorpion, but it's also the snake, which routinely sheds its skin. And think about that. That's what a snake just always does. It's not death. Now, it may look really yucky, or you may go, ooh, you know, and you may even find, like, you know, the dead skin in your yard or somewhere, like when you're out on that hike. But it routinely sheds its skin, and it could be symbolic of death, but it's not death. It's just a phase that the snake goes through. Then also the eagle is another symbol that's often associated with Scorpio. When you think about one of the most powerful birds, one of the birds that can see the farthest, can see, you know, that can penetrate and really see what's going on because of its power. And, you know, if you've ever seen an eagle in the wild, it's fascinating because they will almost always go to the very top of whatever, wherever they are. I was walking through the park one day and I saw a couple of people just standing, looking up. And I'm like, what's going on? There was an eagle at the top of the tree that was the tallest tree in the park. It was a relatively small park, but I mean, but you know, several dozen trees. And there it was at the very top. That's the eagle. So even though Scorpio is, it penetrates to the depths, it also goes to the extremes to find the information that it's looking for. And of course, the iconic phoenix, which, you know, is the ability to rebirth yourself. Now that, I just, once again, like the snake in its skin, I think is a huge message for us at this time. What looks like the tower, if any of you do the tarot cards, you know, the tower, something falling apart, something being destroyed, what can look like death, what can look like never coming back, can rise from the ashes as the phoenix does. We recreate ourselves all the time. I mean, just think about the many ways in life. You know, our cells recreate themselves constantly. Life recreates itself. And we do too. And yet, I'm the first to say sometimes when something happens and I go, no, I'm hanging on to this. I am not letting this go. I don't want to be recreated, especially if I didn't think it was my idea. But Scorpio, is that assurance. This is not death. This is recreation. This is moving in a new direction. And the more you know yourself And the more you can use those kinds of situations, the more powerful you are. I remember I had a friend years ago, and it was seemed uncanny to me that she always seemed to be in a situation where somebody was dying. And she was the person that then really built up, and she wasn't a nurse, she wasn't a healthcare provider, but she was the person who was like the strength, the pillar. She was the one who could be there holding their hand, walking them through the transition. And I said, how is this that this is always you, or that this has happened? And she said, I don't know. I just seem to have had a lot of relatives or friends or situations around me, and so I developed the expertise. Well, you know what? She was a Scorpio with lots of Scorpio energy in her chart. Now, that's not true maybe of all Scorpios. But the other thing is she was fearless. You know, she was fearless in those situations. Now, that may not have been how she was in other parts of her life, but she was able to look at that, to some of the really scary stuff. Scorpios, they don't get easily afraid. So once again, that full moon says, hey, come with me, take my hand. Maybe there's something that you could see that you could walk through your own darkness. You could walk through your own path that you've been afraid of. And you know what? We'll turn on the lights. We'll pull off the masks. It's a Wizard of Oz. Let's look behind the curtain. That's what Scorpio can do if you're willing to kind of, there again, take its hand and just look at it. But here we have this full moon that just says, hey, I'm going to show you some things if you want to see them. If you don't, then wait a few days, because we're going to be beyond it. That's the other thing. That's part of the process of going, oh my gosh, I didn't set intentions. I didn't do this, that, or the other thing. Guess what? There's going to be another one that comes along. Do not be afraid of missing your destiny. Not going to happen. You're going to be in the right place at the right time, even when it doesn't seem that way. Okay? So, you know, as you just look at it, just recognize that, you know, it's great. It's what it is. But also, if you're looking for some kind of change in your life, you know, you're saying, yeah, I really want to see something that's going to kind of move me, that's going to inspire me, that's going to push me in a direction, or maybe even in a direction I didn't know I wanted to go, right? Well, that could be the full moon. But I also want to remind you that there's so many other things going on. So this full moon does not happen in a vacuum. And once again, that's why I was kind of thinking of the scopes, because there's many people out there still going, I wonder what this Uranus conjunction with Jupiter is going to bring to me. You know, what kind of changes am I going to see? What kind of openings are there going to be for me? And we're still under that influence very, very much. And I love the fact that right now we're still under the influence of Mercury being retrograde, because by its nature, Mercury retrograde says we're able to see something in a new light. We're able to see something different. And just how often do you want that? I mean, here again in my own life, sometimes I'm amazed at how I can look for something and I think I know exactly where it is. And I'm looking for it, and I'm going through it and through it and through it, through the drawer or the closet or whatever it is, and it just disappeared. And then I just have to kind of calm down and go, okay, just let it go. If it's not going to be there, it's not going to be there. And then, you know, an hour later, I open the drawer, and there it is. And it's like, how did I not see it? And I can't answer that question. I'm not sure what happens to my vision that I just couldn't see it. But my guess is part of it was being frantic. It was an emotional overlay that I was more in my head. So I wasn't using my visual eyes at all. So I was frantic or upset about not finding something right away, especially if it was something that, you know, I thought was important. But even if it wasn't, you know, it was just like, hey, a pair of scissors, I always keep them in the store, you know. So maybe I was going through a whole bunch of stuff in my head about why did you not put the scissors away and where did they go and why aren't you more careful or why aren't you more responsible? See, there could be all kinds of overlays that cause that kind of thing. So Mercury comes along and goes retrograde and says, okay, let's just slow this down. Let's take another look at this. And you see something that you didn't see. And I also wanted to remind you, because I think with Scorpio too, sometimes people, they're just afraid of that kind of energy. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, hidden stuff is coming up, or I don't want to look underneath the surface. And I can tell you, there are times when I have literally said, I'll do that next lifetime. I don't want to go there this lifetime. So I'm kind of one of those people that can be that way. But I was thinking, as once again, as I kind of just thought about this particular full moon, I thought how many great strides there have been in medicine as the result of literally great trauma. And what I mean is, you know, and you may or may not be aware of this, but before World War II, if somebody got a spinal cord injury, they were pretty much doomed. I mean, there were not lots of things that medicine could do for them. And especially if you broke your neck, if you were quadriplegic, I mean, there was nothing. You know, that was a death sentence and usually a pretty quick one. And, but unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to see it, because of World War II and then the Korean War, when so many people were being injured by mechanisms that ended up in spinal cord injury, doctors had thousands of cases in which they could develop their skills. And out of that came a pretty impressive ability to deal with spinal cord injury. Now, of course, there's other things that contribute to it, but part of it was just the sheer numbers that they practiced on. Now, I don't want to think of having to have a war in order to increase, you know, medical insight, but I just want you to know that's really true. There's like this line of demarcation based on World War II and, like I said, the Korean War that changed how we treat spinal cord injury across the world. And then if you remember, many of you may remember this, depending on how old you were, after the Gulf War and several other things, and Christopher Reeve, you know, was thrown from a horse, all of a sudden, brain injury also, I mean, he was actually spinal cord injury, but brain injury and a number of other things came into focus. Now, those things have been around for years, but especially when war, I mean, when weapons changed enough that they were creating enough traumatic brain injuries, all of a sudden awareness changed. And there again, we make great strides, not only in awareness, but in our treatment of things based on what I consider very traumatic circumstances. And I only bring that up not because I'm a Pollyanna, although I guess I can be a Pollyanna sometimes, but just, you know what, the story isn't over until it's over. We don't know the final result of something. Every single thing can be a lesson. Every single thing can be valuable. Even if in our personal lives, we basically just go, I don't want to ever go through that again. You know, I'm not saying we have to like it. I'm not saying we have to create crises. But out of crises, which is a Plutonian and Scorpio thing, comes new life. There's another way to look at something. There's a way to get beyond our disappointment, our initial disappointment, to understand that something new is happening. I mean, even think about the process of a seed opening up to becoming, you know, to becoming a plant. That seems pretty traumatic. What happened to the poor little seed, right? That seed cracked open and is now transformed into something else. Its potential could only be released through, in a sense, what felt to the seed like trauma, right? So I guess I know I'm going on and on, but it's partially just recognize that, once again, the story's not over till it's over. No matter what you're going through, you can get something valuable from it. You are in the right place at the right time, maybe because you are exactly the person that needs to comfort or be with somebody else. Maybe there's something for you to learn, but just trust yourself, have faith in yourself and your process. And in a sense, if you can, learn to laugh at it. Learn to accept it and learn to not be judgmental. Don't waste your time judging yourself or regretting what has happened. You know, and believe me, I'm listening. I know this message is for me, you know, but that's where we need to be with a full moon in Scorpio. Now, let's touch base quickly with the Mercury retrograde, which is over. Now, I know we talked about some of that, but I really want to encourage you once again. If you're one of those people that says, glad it's over, never want to think about that again. Well, okay, but you got a lot of deep introspection energy right now with the moon in Scorpio. So maybe, you know, just give it a little thought. But really where I wanted to touch base is that some of you, you really like to know some of those dates. So to put it in perspective, and you know, hindsight is 2020, right? Well, if you look at this particular retrograde pattern, March 9th, Mercury entered Aries. That's where the retrograde happened. Sometimes Mercury will retrograde back into a previous sign, but not this time. So on March 9th, Mercury went into Aries. On March 18th, it entered what we call the shadow, which means it was at 15 degrees of Aries. And here again, if you know your chart, you can kind of look at it and see, you know, what's going on in that place. But that is the point at which we were going to come back to 15 Aries. That's why we call it the beginning of the shadow. So no, it was not the beginning of the retrograde. The retrograde didn't start till April 1st at 27 Aries. But then between April 1st and now, you know, till April 25th, which is when Mercury's going to go direct on Thursday, well, it traveled back from 27 Aries to 15 Aries again. And so you might want to say, what's been going on in my life since about March 18th? What are the things that are going on? Were there messages? Was there something that felt like it did go backwards or it got fouled up? Maybe this is the opportunity to straighten something out that was going on during that time. Or maybe you just look at that time period and say, what did I not quite get straight? What did I not have all the pieces to the puzzle about that particular period of time? So March 18th was the beginning of the shadow. April 1st was the beginning of the retrograde. And now on Thursday is when Mercury stops moving backwards visually, you know, as the optical illusion, and starts going forward again. But it'll take until May 13th until Mercury gets back to 27 Aries. So for those of you who do like to be a little more introspective or study things, look at it. What's the period of March 18th through May 13th for you? You know, did something start that now, or something came up, something you're trying to figure out, and then it'll resolve, or you'll have a better understanding of it by May 13th, because that's the way it works. So it'd be interesting to just kind of keep track of some of those things. And, you know, often I'll tell you, if I keep track, I really see it. You know, something that happened, something that somebody couldn't figure out, something went wrong, and sure enough, once Mercury starts going direct, they start figuring it out. And by the time the shadow's over, it's resolved. You know, it's history. They're ready to move on. So you might want to do that for yourself too. Okay, we're going to do some scopes relatively quickly. And here again, I'm just going to throw out some ideas for you. And I know Mark on his show yesterday, he did, I think he went house by house, but I'm going to do it again, I guess for my, I'm not sure why I am otherwise, other than that's what I had planned, but in a slightly different way. And what I mean by this is, once again, think of this idea of guidance. And I also want you to kind of take on this idea of, you know, no matter what looks like happening, you know, what is happening, there's rebirth happening. The snake is shedding its skin and coming back out. And very possibly Jupiter and Uranus, that energy is wrapping itself up, really creating some new, you know, motivations for you, some new openings for you that you're going to be able to walk through. So I would say keep the idea that it's not what it looks like. Keep that in your head. But also I want you to kind of wrap yourself around this idea of just taking a risk. You know, are you willing to try something new? What, you know, how far are you willing to stretch something? So this is how I looked at it when I did the scopes. I looked at if you are a Scorpio. So we're going to go by the astrological signs. So you can look at this. If I'm a Scorpio, or maybe I'm a Scorpio rising, or maybe I have a lot of planets in Scorpio, or maybe I just really identify with Scorpio. You know, you can say, okay, this scope is for me. Or you can also look and say, well, if this particular full moon is happening in the eighth house, because that's the Scorpio house. So you might want to look at it that way. So you might actually think in two different ways. You know, if you're a Scorpio, you listen to that scope. Or if you have this full moon in your eighth house, you can say, that might be the message for me. But here again, some of the messages, you may hear something and say, oh, that's for me, and I'm not one of those signs, or you don't identify as one of those signs. So I'm a real big believer that this is kind of a collective. This is, you know, a reading that puts together lots of different information, and take from it what you hear that you go, ooh, that struck a chord with me. Okay, so don't get obsessed about whether or not you're a Scorpio or a Sag or a Capricorn, or whether this is going on in whatever house. Although, because here again, as an astrologer, I'll tell you, if something's going on in one house, like in the eighth house, well, guess what? It's going on in the second house too. And the reason is because it's a boomerang. Those two houses are connected. And if you happen to be one of those people who has a lot of planets that are then squaring or trining or creating aspects, well, guess what? The end result could very much happen in another part of your life. So don't get stuck in how you think it's going to happen, but just take what you can from these messages and just sit with them. And like I said, if you're really a risk taker, if you're really open, you'll just take whatever message comes to you, whatever message feels right. So if you're a Scorpio, or this is happening in the eighth house, because that's the natural Scorpio house, well, that's a house of shared resources. So that might have to do with money that you share with somebody else, or it could be money that is sitting in a trust or in a will or something like that. It could be money from your spouse. This is shared money. But you know, that eighth house is also about things that are hidden and taboo and esoteric. So oftentimes when I see that house activated, people are really delving into something, like they're studying astrology or tarot or some other kind of esoteric thing. They're really getting into I Ching. They're going off to a workshop. But the other thing I love about this house, and by the way, it's also about sexuality, but it's about how do you recreate yourself, because it's Scorpio. But do you realize recreate is also recreation? And that's the funny thing too. Often when I see an activation of that house, somebody is wanting to plan a trip. They're wanting to plan recreation for themselves. And almost always it's something very, very different than they do in their everyday lives. And in fact, I think that's it. When we kind of get humdrum, when we get all caught up, when we get to this place of we're not sure where we should go next, that's the time to take a trip or to plan a vacation, to plan a recreation, a recreation that will get us out of ourselves. So when I look at that, I feel like, you know, like for some people, this may be very mundane. They're really looking at their experience versus their stuff. You know, they're looking at some of those money issues. They're looking at how they spend the money. How are they spending shared resources? Or is there something they need to do with shared resources? Like maybe they do need to create a will or a trust, or maybe they need to reinvest money or make different decisions about it. But I feel like for you, it keeps popping up, or when I kept looking at this, I kept thinking there's choices. They're going this or that, this or that. They're making choices. So look at your passions. Which ones are speaking the loudest to you? Because maybe this really is about making decisions about shared resources, or making decisions about ways that you do want to recreate yourself, maybe you and your partner. But, you know, just think about some of those things going on in your life. Okay, now if you're a Sagittarius, or this is happening in the ninth house is typically about expanding yourself, right? It naturally Sagittarius, naturally Jupiter. So most of the time I see it as being about knowledge, you know, people going back to school, people getting involved in a training program or a credentialing program, or they're upping their game in some way. Sometimes it's they finally want to say, I want to step on stage. I want to be the teacher. I want to start a YouTube channel. I want to be in the spotlight, not so much just because I want to be in the spotlight, but, you know, I've studied, I've traveled, I have all these experiences. I have all these things I want to share. So think about it in terms of this is about wisdom. And are you gaining the wisdom? Are you sharing the wisdom? Maybe a little of both. This is also a house that has to do with spirituality and religion specifically. But I feel like for you, I feel like, it, you know, even though it's, I want to step in the spotlight, I think this is a time of being somewhat introverted and saying, what is the path that I really want to follow? What is the discipline or the intrigue that I really just want to follow this path? I want to find out more about this, because this might be a time that you have a profound moment in your life about long-held beliefs or traditions, you know, what's meaningful to you. So maybe you are off taking a class or teaching a class and come to a different belief about your personal philosophy. Okay, Capricorn of the 10th house. This is about reputation. Now, this is the house of work and profession. I mean, we always call it that, work and profession. But if you think about the 10th house, it's in a sense the highest level of what people think about us. It's how people see us, but so much more than the rising sign. This is like, what is the reputation that we want to achieve? What is the status? What is the level of respect? What does that look like to us? What do we want to be known for? And here, maybe more than any other place, I want you to think, take a risk. Don't get, you know, especially with Capricorn, don't get so caught up in what you think it has to look like. This is a time to take a little bit of risk with that reputation, because maybe you're holding back. Maybe you're staying so totally in your comfort zone, you're not really letting your expertise shine. So you might be developing an expertise or letting an expertise shine. You know, that's the other thing. I feel like there's expertise is the word that came to me. Like there's really something going on here. But you know, the other word that was coming was transparent. You know, being more transparent, letting go of disguises and roles and masks and tricks or manipulations. You know, almost like you don't have to trick somebody into following what you're doing because you're good. You're an expert, or you've got something to share. So you don't have to manipulate or trick somebody into thinking you're really good at something. You are really good at something. Okay? So this is about maybe being a little more transparent about who you are and recognizing once again, people will love you when they see you. You know, that is enough. You're building something there. I think that's what Scorpio is trying to tell you in that, you know, if that moon is in your 10th house. All right, Aquarius. If you're an Aquarius, if you have Aquarian planets, or it's in the 11th house for you. And here again, because you know, naturally, I mean, we have, you know, that's why we base all these charts on time. You know, everybody doesn't have Aries on the first house or Aquarius on the 11th. So if that Scorpio full moon is in your 11th house, it's activating something that has to do with friends and associates and groups of people that you hang out with or that you're drawn to or that you're excited about. This is a house also that's about hopes and dreams for the future, what we think or hope the future looks like. And so this is a time, I think, for you, you might be having some really significant relationship things going on. And here again, not necessarily with a mate or a spouse, but with friends or people that you want to associate with. You know, how, I mean, I think it's so worthwhile to be very conscious of who we choose to spend our time with. We become like them. So this is a time maybe you're going to have to stand up to a few friends. Maybe you're going to realize something. That person isn't really my friend. They're just always looking for something from me. And or maybe you know, it's time to really take a stand and try to associate with some people that maybe you're afraid. You're going, oh, there's so much more above me, or they know so much more, or you know, whatever it is. You think that they've got something you don't. Well, maybe it's time to invite yourself into that group. Invite those kind of relationships. And so it's almost like accepting where you are in life and accepting where you may feel weak, but also making accommodations for that. You know, you don't have to just sit in the back of the room because nobody ever invited you to sit up front, or nobody ever invited you. I mean, in fact, that's a big issue. Invite yourself. But for you, it's discernment around friends, organizations, and who or what you allow to stick to you. And like I said, this may take some strength. You may find that there are some relationships you really need to turn around, some friendships. But more than that, I think it's looking around and saying, what group do I want to belong to? And do I keep myself out because I feel like I'm not as good as those people? Or, and there, as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing wrong with saying, I really want to learn that. I want to be that. And I'm just going to invite myself. I'm going to expose myself to this kind of energy. You know, you don't wait to be invited and you just don't hold yourself back saying, oh, well, I don't have what it takes. Now, that's not to say that every single group is going to open their arms. But on the other hand, if there's a group that's really exclusive, you better double think that too. Is that the group you really want to be in? But that's what's happening for you. Pisces, okay, this is the 12th house. So if that Scorpio moon is happening in your 12th house, or you've got a lot of Pisces energy, well, this is a house where we are so incredibly transpersonal because it's not about ego. It's not about me. It's my place in the world. So this is a house where often we look at our relationship with large or societal institutions and systems. Like sometimes we come up with, this is such an old word, but you know, orphanages, or prisons or hospitals and, you know, even I'd say Habitat for Humanity and causes and things that have to do with the world. Where do we put ourselves in that place of doing something because we know that we are a citizen of the world? This is also a house of religion and spirituality. It is a house where, in a sense, we do lose ourselves. You know, we have become this ego, this identity with Aries, the beginning of the zodiac, and then we morph right back into I am one of the many. I'm one of the one. You know, I belong here. So this is a time too when I feel like there's a lot of growth going on for you. You're reaching out and touching and really being impressed with what's important in life, being conscious of how you spend your time and your resources and belonging to something bigger than yourself. So here again, sometimes I see in clients, you know, when there's a lot of activation of the 12th house, somebody is not only clutter clearing in a big level, but they're doing things like they're doing workshops, they're doing spiritual development, they're going off on retreats, they're immersing themselves in their passions, whatever that is. And you might think of that too. It's a house of immersion. You know, and how do I lose myself, my individual ego within the scope of this particular energy, this group, and just doing something there again? It's about the world and being a citizen of the world. And sometimes, though, with the ego, this is a disintegration, so to speak, of the ego in terms of maybe we do. It is all this clutter clearing. I remember hearing about a woman years ago and on the 31st of December every year, whatever was in her checking account, she wrote a check to some, to somebody or to some place. She got rid of every single penny in her checking account. Now, I don't know what her other is, you know, where she might have also had other money, but it was symbolic to her that she wanted to start every single year new. And there is that kind of energy in that Pisces. I just want to start new. I don't want this to be personal. This is mine. I want to figure out where I belong in the big picture. So if you want to do some, you know, work with past lives, or maybe you just want to, you know, you just want to immerse yourself. It can even be like, you know, painting, sculpting, you know, music, whatever it is you want to immerse yourself. Okay, Aries. You are the first house. This is a sense of self, ego, personality, how we present ourselves in the world. Well, I think maybe more than any of the others, this is about, I want to do something significant. I want a complete facelift. I want a profound reawakening. I want to recreate myself. So this is giving birth to you, a new you, but being conscious of how you're doing it. Okay? You know, just being purposeful with how you're presenting yourself and not just saying, oh, well, people think this about me. No, create it. Create the mask that you want to wear. Give birth to a new part of yourself. Taurus is the second house. Taurus is about our money and our stuff. But more than that, it's about our values. What we think is important. I collect stuff because I think there's some value to it. right? So in this particular case, I think this is about taking care of your stuff for one thing. Like you might have a renewed sense of, I really need to take care of my stuff. You know, maybe I haven't been showing it enough respect, but it's also about taking care of your ethics and your morals, you know, and valuing what you think is really your treasure. But I also feel like there is a sense of just a lot of nurturing in this and just, you know, having things in your life that you feel attached to, but you also give them your independence, almost like children. You know, this is important to me, but I hold it for a certain amount of time in my hand, and then it goes to you. I give it to you or whatever, to just be more thoughtful about what we value and why, but to really nurture it as well, not just take things for granted. Gemini is the third house. Well, this is the house of communication. This is the house of neighborhood and community and siblings, but more than anything else, maybe communication. And so I'll tell you, this I thought was kind of funny. The visual I had for this is a person performing, being out front, putting on an act, dazzling their audience. So I thought, you know, maybe this is about finding something that you're really passionate about and writing about it, talking about it, communicating about it. You know, are you keeping something under wraps? Are you not like really putting something out there that you want to? Because I feel like that's what it is. Like I said, I kind of saw this person on stage and at first I'm going, well, this isn't Leo, but it's like, that's what I saw. Acting, performing, being out front and just, you know, being a sparkler, so to speak, and connecting with other people. Okay, Cancer, for you, this is the fourth house, naturally. So if that Scorpio full moon is going on, it is about home and it's about maybe parents or your soul group. But, you know, so you might be the person that you're really thinking about what's going on at home. You're thinking about, I want to move or I want to stay here. I want to do a major clutter clearing. I want to repurpose room in my house for something else that I want to do, either a hobby or maybe it's a spiritual room, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like there's a lot going on that has to do with your roots. So you may be thinking about ancestors. You may be thinking about a soul group. But I'd also say this is a time of being quiet and allowing these things to surface. And then to figure out what really creates the peace of mind that I want in my life. Okay, and I realize we're getting close, so I'm going fast. Here's Leo, is the fifth house. That's the house of self-expression in children and the inner child. It's about dating. But one thing I felt like for Leo, this is emotion and emotion and more emotion. This is like letting your emotional cups run over. You know, just giving yourself permission to feel to the extreme, to feel ecstasy, to feel fulfillment, but also to think about, as you do that and you're giving yourself permission, is there a way that you kind of push yourself too far? You know, do you just keep pushing yourself too far and you don't know when too much of a good thing is too much? So go with that. Then Virgo is the sixth house. This is daily routines. It's health. It's perfecting your abilities. And the two words that kept coming to me with this was integrity and honesty. And so for you, think about, are you walking the path that really is taking you to your goals, or are you kidding yourself? I mean, you know, and I think about this in issues of daily routines and habits, because sometimes somebody will say something to me that just seems so preposterous, like, oh yeah, well, I walk every day and I never overeat. I can't understand why I need to lose 200 pounds. And it's sort of like, okay. I mean, you know, so be honest. Be a person of integrity. And this isn't just about weight or just about health, but it's like, look at how you really spend your everyday time, your everyday routines or the skills that you have, the abilities that you have. Be honest, be a person of integrity. Okay, and the very last one, and then I promise I'll wrap it up. Libra is the seventh house of partnerships. The other, you know, somebody other than ourselves. And in this particular one, clarity was the word that came to me. And it's the word that, like, can you shine your light clearly and perfectly and appreciate yourself and then understand how that light can change and grow and change colors and sparkle when you're with somebody else, but you don't need that other person in order to have a light. It simply looks different, but you've got your own light. So I think that's the main thing for Libra, is really getting clear on your clarity and your light. Okay, we got to wrap it up so that Jay can go on. Sorry, I went over. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all the listeners and the people in the chat room. Thanks to Jay, our producer today. And please stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to Scorpio.